listening to the Everyday Astrology Podcast. I'm Hilary Scott, your astrologer, and I'm here to bring you the current planetary conditions. Be sure and check back to stay tuned in to the positive, loving, evolving flow of the cosmos. So we are in the middle of a Piscean storm, if there could be such a thing, where nothing is as it seems, and the ability to be clear and concise, or anything like Pisces is the opposite of Virgo. So Virgo is very critical and careful and precise and organized, and Pisces is very go with the flow, just kind of bothered by time, doesn't want to be pinned down. So we've just had Venus enter into Pisces on Tuesday, and now we've got Venus, Mercury, Neptune, and the Sun all in Pisces. So that is a heavy-duty amount of Pisces. So definitely figure out where in your chart you've got that going on. And it should give you a good, you know, an idea of where in your life you're dealing with this Piscean energy. So it can be, oh my gosh, there's so many aspects to astrology that you could have it be something very sinister and confusing. It could be like representative of drug overdoses and addicts and lies and cover-ups and all kinds of things like that with the Pisces energy, because nothing really is as it seems, which is the tricky part with it. But it could also be like a very inspired time. So if you happen to be a musician or an artist or a healer or anything that's dealing with sort of a non-linear realm, it can be a very inspirational time to float around in. But we also still are under the influence of feeling the Sun and Chiron together. And it was exact, I guess, on last Friday, the 22nd, I believe. The 22nd? Yes, the 22nd. So that might have been a time where you were triggered in some way, or some sort of event occurred that reminded you of a painful event from the past. Or you might not even, a lot of the times we'll have a trigger and we won't realize that it's something we've gone through before, that it's actually just coming up again for us to feel. And you never know where it's going to hit or how it's going to be. Generally, you know, we do have some experience wrestling with whatever comes up for us when Chiron is triggered. Like, we've been dealing with it our whole lives. So the older you are, the more experienced you are, especially if you're, you know, proactively growing in your life rather than repressing. Because it's when you've been repressing that the shit can really hit the fan and things can get really difficult. But it depends. Like, it depends on how you go about your processing. Because Chiron can be, we all have a wound and we have all got to heal it, maybe more than one wound. And Chiron will push your buttons to trigger this wound to be conscious. For me, I was coming home from Mexico on the plane with my family and my daughter. So my husband, my daughter, and I. And my daughter, the last time she was on a plane, which was in September, she went to New York and her grandmother took her on a cruise to the Bahamas. And it was a, you know, very fortunate couple of weeks. But coming home from New York on the plane, there was a ton of turbulence and it scared her senseless. She really did think that she was going to go down in a plane. And she's literally been on planes since she was 10 weeks old, was her first plane trip. She had her first passport at 3. And she's been traveling long plane trips to different parts of the world ever since. And she's 16 now. So it's not that, you know, she's had an experience that we're conscious of that happened in her life, besides this turbulence on the flight from New York, which seemed to awaken something in her. So we're on the plane and coming back. And we found out right before we left, or right when we got there, actually, not before we left, that the plane we were on was one of the planes that had been in an act. There was two different plane crashes 5 months apart. And it was, they thought that they were new planes and perhaps it was something to do with some sort of like leveling software in it, and that this might be the problem. So they grounded all these planes. But then when we got on the plane, we were all pretty certain this was the exact plane we came there on, which was one of these planes that was implicated as not working properly. possibly might crash, so we better ground it. So although we did like stealthily keep this information from my daughter by like making a lot of noise whenever my in-laws had the news on and like trying to like distract her from the fact that this happened at all, while we were on the plane, she was still like really hyped up, like really anxious and worried. And we're both kind of talking her down and don't worry about it. It's fine. You know, the odds of getting in a car crash are a lot higher than getting in a plane crash and all of that. And normally, we're very calm and collected. So this was a weird experience. So we're flying through the air across North America, and there was a ton of turbulence. And she, my daughter, was freaking out. Like literally every little bump, we might as well have been nosediving. She was really freaking out. And I didn't know what to do. My husband was way better at dealing with her than I was. I didn't know what to do. I was like, I wanted to like slap her out of it because it seemed so over the top. But then I started thinking, well, first, actually, I started tapping. I tapped, tapped, tapped. I was tapping away, even though I'm terrified of dying in a plane crash. I deeply, you know, the whole thing. And it did keep me in a calm, like a relatively calm state. And I think hopefully I was doing surrogate tapping too for my daughter. So I think it did end up calming her down too. But every time there was a little bit of turbulence, she would freak out. And then I started thinking, oh my God, like what if she's freaking out on this level because she's being precognitive. She's a Sagittarius. They have a lot of precognition. And I thought maybe she's actually sensing that we are going to go down in this plane. That was the worst thought that I could have had because I was freaking out after that too. So every little bit of turbulence. And then there was a point where there was a lot of turbulence going on for like 10 minutes. The whole time I'm thinking, this is like, can this be it? Am I really going to go down in a plane crash? I haven't even planned for this. I had no expectations of this being my demise. I didn't even have a fear up until this moment. So that's another reason I thought maybe this was it. Like maybe we were going to go down and she knew it. And so then I started to feel that and I started to like be concerned that it was the worst. Let me tell you, it was as we were flying, I'm like, I'm never getting on a plane again. I'm never going to put us through this again. I don't blame my daughter if she never gets on a plane again. It was awful. And I realized that day, Chiron and the sun were conjunct in Aries. So then I thought, oh my God, like the wound and Aries has to do with explosions. And, you know, that's sort of seemingly a perfect recipe for a plane to go down. Then I started thinking about, there's a lot of time to think while you're strapped into one of those tiny little seats. You can't even bend over to pick something up off the floor. If you drop something on the floor, there is no headroom for you to like bend forward and pick it up. You have to like jam your neck to the side. And it's, you know, it's very claustrophobia inducing being on a plane. The fuselage, the tube of metal hurtling through time and space. I mean, you can go all kinds of scary places. So it turned out that my hubby was also worried that we were going to go down. Normally not a fearful flyer. Normally, like, he's calm. We're usually all very calm and not fearful. But all three of us were, like, freaking out. We didn't talk about it at the time. We didn't talk about it till the next day that we both also thought that something was going to happen. But that was, like, I wonder, you know, if we, like, was that going to wound us? Are we now not going to be able to get on planes because of this awful experience? I hope that's not the case. And I also wondered, like, what about when planes actually do go down? Is it because there's like this critical mass of people that are terrified of going down in a plane crash and finally the moment comes where they've all gathered in one place and create their reality? There was a lot going on that day in my head. So that's an example, I think, of how that Chiron, it can be pretty extreme. Like we were contemplating our swift demise in a fiery plane crash for like hours. It was awful. So I wonder if you had any experiences of Chiron last week, Friday-ish, when it was exact, or even still kind of occurring, that was a similar, like facing your own demise kind of experience. Pretty heavy duty. That's Chiron. It's pretty heavy duty. So, and then now we've moved kind of out of the exact energy of that, and we are into the Piscean. Venus has moved into Pisces. So it can be very romantic and idealistic. And if you have any sort of creative projects in you, if you could sort of gently coax yourself to produce, that would be great because wonderful things could be produced right now. The tricky thing is that Pisces is very tricky to pin down because it doesn't like to be confined, or even to time and space is not a Piscean enjoyable activity. So that might be happening. At the same time, if you can tap into the lovely, like, etherical energy and even seeing, because you can see kind of in a cosmic way and see what things might be, like maybe new ideas are coming to you, or your new understandings of the cosmos, or how it's all connected, or even your family lineage, or even your cosmic lineage. All kinds of like interesting ideas are swirling around in the cosmos for us to tap into with all this Piscean energy. And good news, on Thursday, the 28th, Mercury will be going direct. And it's been a tricky Mercury. It's been a lot of mix-ups and things that you wouldn't want to happen happening. Just mix-ups in communication. Even I actually, before we left, this is a classic mix-up. It was right before Mercury retrograde, but already when Mercury had turned, like it stopped moving forward to go retrograde. So there's a period where it's kind of stale and it's not a great time to initiate things. But at that time, we were about to leave and I wanted to get the front of our property fenced. And we have like more front than we do back on our property. And I've wanted to do this since we moved here. And so I found someone, and it's my little project because my hubby's like, well, you want it done, then you get it done. So I was finding the guy and sorting it out, and it ended up being like a last minute thing, and there was a bunch of mix-ups in communication, and the whole job just didn't get done really like I wanted it to get done. The whole point of it wasn't even served, which was to be able to contain the dogs before we left. And it was kind of left with spots open, and I had no time because he'd delayed a couple of days. I had no time to actually notice this until I was about to leave. And so it was a real frustrating, like, here I am trying to get this thing done, but there was just a huge mix-up. Classic Mercury retrograde. It can be, you know, have to do with travel plans, often with communications, but it's always, there'll always be something, especially if you're trying to push forward and get something new done. If you're reviewing or reorganizing, reordering, all the rewords, then generally Mercury will be in your, it'll be working for you, and you'll be able to tap into the good parts of the Mercury retrograde. Like you can run into people from the past, which can be lovely. Or there's things to finish off with them that you didn't get finished off, which might not be so lovely. But often it's just like a nice catch up with people from the past that you'd gotten out of touch with. Mercury can be great for that. So with it going direct on the 28th, we're going to be out of this confusion on this level. Though Mercury still will be in Pisces for a little while, and it won't be out of its shadow until kind of mid-April, where it's fully heading forward again. It's still not going to be as confusing and difficult and kind of glitch-making too. There's lots of just, especially technological glitches, things that are frustrating and irritating, just little niggly things that stop you from moving forward. But now that it's going forward, we don't have to worry so much about that. I think Friday is a really good day. The moon is going to be conjoining. The moon will move into Capricorn and it's going to be conjoining Saturn and Pluto, and it's going to be trining Mars. So this to me seems like a wonderful day to get stuff done, to get very disciplined and certain and clear. Like even though there's still a lot of Piscean energy, it might just help you think in a very idealistic way, but then get a hold of this Capricorn energy and bring it down into reality and make it your dreams or your visions real. So the Capricorn energy, because it's earthy, is really good in the physical realm. And then the Piscean energy can tap you into really visionary ideas. So the two working together can be very, I mean, big things can happen, big ideas that you wouldn't expect to be manifested can manifest. So do take the time on Friday to focus and be clear about what your plans are. Get clear about what your routine needs to be for you to achieve your plans. Because that can sometimes be tricky too with Pisces. They prefer not to be stuck to a routine. It's very stifling and it kind of chokes the creativity. But at the same time, all successful writers follow a writing schedule. They have to create some sort of discipline in order for them to get the writing out of them. And the ones that are successful and end up having, you know, are very, what's the word when you are prolific, when they are end up being prolific, like Stephen King, for example. He writes for 3 hours every day. And is it 3 or 4 hours? Without exception, you just show up and then you've done your part and the writing will come through. So that's not always easy with too much Pisces, but with some Capricorn in there and Saturn and even Pluto, you can harness your ability to create what you want and your personal power, your like autonomy and your sense of power can be tapped into with these energies. So that's a nice energy to go into the weekend. And then on Saturday, Mars will be entering Gemini. So that's, you know, there's going to be like a busy electrical, possibly you're going to have a lot of energy to do a lot of different things and best to do them within your realm. Like if you can be like around the neighborhood and getting things done in your immediate area with your immediate family, maybe your siblings or your cousins, like people who are connected to you in kind of brotherly, sisterly ways. Gemini has a tie to that, and also communication. So if you are moved to communicate about something, now is the time to do it with Mars in Gemini. There's lots of ideas coming in that you can tap into, and you'll probably be able to be very clever and witty and articulate about it because the Gemini energy is very good with words. It's a very smooth talking, articulate, sometimes deceitful and not necessarily on purpose, but because Gemini is a very dualistic sign with two sides, there's a good side and there's a bad side. And often those two sides, even within their own self, don't like to admit each other is there. It's like Jekyll and Hyde. So there can be that going on too. So watch yourself for maybe being deceptive and not speaking the truth. And be aware that others might not be exactly truthful with you right now as well. And it's not always necessarily maliciously done. It's just some people are teller of tall tales. And you've just got to, usually if you have someone like that in your life, you'll have figured it out already. And you'll know who to watch for. So if you do need the absolute 100% truth right now, that's not the greatest time with Mars in Gemini. And then the Piscean energy too, not the greatest time to get the exact truth. But definitely like a time to discuss things, a time to communicate, a time to clarify, a time to, at the same time, really be able to go with the flow because the flow and the Piscean energy is necessary. We need the flow. So, and then Monday we have April Fool's Day, which is kind of fun if you're inclined to that kind of fun. It can be fun. 1 year I told my hubby that I was getting this. We had just lost our dog and I was in Mexico still and he'd already been back home and I sent him this picture of this cute, actually it wasn't a cute chihuahua. It was a hideous looking little chihuahua and it had these like long nails and this like underbite and not overly cute in like, oh, it's so ugly, it's cute, but just sort of, oh, it's so ugly. Like it wasn't a cute dog at all. And it was a picture of this little chihuahua on my lap and I'm like, this is our new chihuahua Mimo, and had him going like all day and I just thought it was hilarious, which maybe it wasn't that funny. And he didn't want to say no because I just lost the love of my life and he knew that my heart was broken. So if this ugly little chihuahua was going to make me happy, he was going to let me have this chihuahua. In the end, I like, not even a full day, I was like, no, I'm not keeping this dog. Don't worry. I'm not bringing a chihuahua home, which he's never expressed any desire to be the owner of. So, but it was fun and it gave me a good laugh and it showed what a good sport he was too, that he was willing to put up with this. So if you can have some fun on April Fool's Day, you should. There's the Mars and the Moon. Mars in Gemini and the Moon in Pisces will be squaring each other. And so now the Moon will also be in Pisces. So there's a whole bunch of stuff on Monday in Pisces. So it kind of would be a good day to pull the wool over on someone if you wanted to be funny. Always to be funny, right? Not to be hurtful or mean or like sinister, just to be funny. But there's again all this Piscean energy, and then there's a nice sextile to Uranus on Monday that would maybe make the joke go over really well. So keep that in mind. Also, watch yourself for having someone pull the wool over on you too, because of the Pisces energy. all kind of, I mean, we're not really out of it for quite a while. So, like, at least another couple of weeks where we're still really feeling all this sort of confusion and not exactly clear about which direction we're going. Although we will have moments of clarity, the majority of the energy is kind of the sleepy, Pisces, dreamy energy. So do take care of yourself. Like, keep your feet on the ground, keep your system grounded, eat things that ground your body. And also, because of the spring energy, eat things that clean your liver, because in Chinese medicine, this time of year is liver cleaning time, and also can bring up grief. So if you have any repressed grief, you might feel yourself being a little more griefy than usual, or feeling gloomy and unhappy. So if any of those feelings come up, just feel them. And like, if you have a hot bath, Pisces is very soothed by water. So anything, drink lots of water, get your feet in water, walk by creeks, maybe by the ocean, whatever you find soothing, that will help process this Piscean energy and anything that might be coming up with it, which might not always be that fun. So that is really it for this week. We have the new moon coming up next week. But until then, just kind of stay grounded, stay aware of the thoughts and ideas and dreams that are coming through, and you should be able to ride this time out in a productive way. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact me at hilaryscott.com or the Everyday Astrology Podcast. Thank you so much for listening.